This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
My name is Arthur Nisley. I've lived in El Salvador for 30 years. The idea of this workshop is to talk about things we can do to make so that we don't have such a great turnover. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for this group of people. I pray that you would teach us to brainstorm, to think creatively about what we can do to make so that people don't need to come back from the field before it's your time. And I just invite you to be here and to guide us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I hope I'm not in the way for you. So I've been on the mission field for 30 years. It's what I love doing. There's nothing else I'd rather do. And so you just need to know that, because that's going to affect the way I... Hi, Gama.
Hi.
Well, what's your... Well, tell us about why you're here.
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, let's look at this definition. The number of workers that have left, this is just my definition. The number of workers that have left a mission setting and have been replaced in a given period of time compared with the total amount of workers. So the first example is we have 25 people in country XYZ, and in 1 year, five of them left and needed to be replaced. Okay, that's one example. And then the next example is we have 35 people in a country, and just one person needed to be replaced. Of course, I'm aware that in one year we can a bunch of people leave, but then over a pattern of several years, you'll see that some places there's just a faster turnover, and other places the people just stay and stay and stay. So I want you to think about that. I was hoping we'd have some more mission board people. And that's who I was hoping I would talk to. But we'll talk to you. I work for AMA, and there's people in Belize, and the turnover in Belize, unfortunately, is pretty fast. Do we have people that are there long? Have been there longer than 3 or 4 years? Okay.
It's bad.
Okay. But we're not here to criticize. We're just making sure that we're tracking together. In El Salvador, we've done better. We've been able to keep our people longer. And I'm convinced that the longer that people stay, the better their contribution. Mm-hmm. I think about churches because I'm a pastor. And do any of you have any guesses about what happens in a church when we have a new pastor every 2 or 3 years? Have any ideas what happens? Carol, what happens?
You lose people.
Maybe. You lose people. You lose people. There was people kind of on the fringes who were thinking about giving their life to the Lord, who were my friends, but when I leave, they lose interest. And so we don't want to have that happen. So what we want to do is to see people, the good people. We don't mind if the bad people leave, right? Can we be frank? We don't mind if bad people leave, but we want to keep the good people. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that the really good people can stay longer. So I'm going to be talking to... let's just look at the causes, and then I want to tell about the different people that I'm thinking about. I don't want this to be theoretical. I don't want this to be academic. I just want you to think about, here's a revolving door. You know about those. At the airport, one person walks in and someone else walks out. And it's just, I know a church in El Salvador where we're great at evangelizing, but we're not great at keeping them. And so we have this revolving door thing. But doesn't the same thing happen in missions? We have somebody who's really good at recruiting, and who's just convinced that this person without any training is going to do fine, and so we send him to the mission field, but it's not the way the mission board member said it was going to be, and then we get discouraged and all of that. So I'm going to suggest that lack of personal vision. What do I mean by that? I mean that how long you stay can depend on what you're expecting. If you, sure, I'll do my, have you heard about the man? So I'm going to talk to him about this today. They said, I'm so glad I got my VS service in because I'm done now. That's what I'm talking about. Lack of personal vision. You know, I've got my work done. Nobody can make me feel guilty again. Come on in. Nobody can make me feel guilty because I've done my good deed for my lifetime. Then there's the lack of personal preparation and training. May I just be honest? We conservative Anabaptists are good. I'm guessing there's no other evangelical group that has so many people, so many mission boards, so many groups, and I think we're better than average at sending people out. I think. Okay? But I don't think we're very good at training them and preparing them. And so I'm suggesting if we could improve on our preparation and balancing, putting the right people in the right place. If you're a people person and I put you in an office desk, you're going to be frustrated. And the other way around, we're trying to find people whose jobs, did you feel fulfilled?
Yes, I did.
Good. And that means that you stayed longer than if you'd have just been frustrated and boy, just if you were pulling your hair. So I'm glad. And you?
I did as well.
Okay, good. Boy, that's good. Interpersonal problem. Did you fight?
There was one particular moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have asked. Sorry. Why did I ask that? Okay. But fights between people can be really draining and make so that people just give up and go home. And so we want to say, that's another thing. So we look at this list. Stress from cross-cultural and language learning. It isn't fun. I remember those first 9 months, and you remember too. I remember the first 9 months when it was so frustrating because a child could talk better than I could. And it took me 9 months. People think I can speak Spanish well now, and I probably can. But it didn't come easy. And then there's the lack of support from caring field supervisors, or people who don't even catch on. And then we have that problem. So you tell me, didn't think about this before, so what are we gonna do? You tell me how to fix the problem. I'm talking about the people who are thinking about going just don't have it, and they're putting in time, but they don't have a vision for lost people, and so we're going to do all we can to help people understand what the real issues are, that the what's really important is not the new pickup, it's people's lives.
It starts at home.
And so if you're a board member, you're going to do everything you can. Do you do recruiting?
I assist in it.
Okay. So you're going to do what you can to make so people's, the way they think is different.
Homes.
Okay.
Churches as well, but I believe it starts in our homes.
Okay.
If I, as a parent, teach vision for the
right,
lost,
right, amen.
Our children will pick it up.
They'll pick it up.
And
you can
not.
Teach it and you can do it. Good. But there's lack of preparation and training. I really like what mission training in New York is doing. Back in my day, in the 1980s, there was nothing like that. I read the books because I really cared about this, but I didn't have what you guys have. So that's good. This is training. Training, and it's talking about, and it's catching it before it gets too far along. So many of these can get big fast if you don't talk about them. So stress, right now, in El Salvador, we're having a monthly meeting with a couple who's been there 2 years, and they're just really frustrated with cultural stuff. And we talk, and at the end of a two-hour meeting, they had their batteries charged again, and but I think they're changing. They're changing. They're understanding some things. And so we are trying. We feel very strongly about this. Our mission board is trying to be careful not to micromanage, which is good. But I think our people need the security of knowing that this is what's expected of me, and this is what a success. Oh, this is what we're looking for. High worker turnover is a problem. It's a problem because I am thinking right now about somebody who, a man who needed to leave the mission field, and we lost all his friendships, his contacts, and the church just kind of came to a screeching halt. So there's loss of kingdom momentum when somebody needs to leave. But I really think almost as big, well, it's hard to quantify this, but loss of personal potential. When a man goes to the mission field and says, I'm going to give my life to missions, I'm going to be self-supported, I'm going to do all these things, and then his life falls apart, and he can't stay, then there's just this sense of failure, this sense of, I blew it. Then there's the financial loss. Think about how much money it costs to get somebody from Pennsylvania to Guatemala, to run them through a language school, and you're not worth very much for the first couple months. So there's a lot of loss. How's that?
You're not productive.
You're not very productive, and so we're really losing out. And so this is significant. And so. So I want to talk about different people. I want to talk about the church pastor, parent, mentor. You said that's you, and you said you're a board recruiter or a board member. And Carolyn, who are you? You're in here somewhere. Mission board, sending agency. This, you're somewhere here. Is there anybody here that says, I'm a prospective worker? Maybe? Might go back? Okay, you are, for sure. Okay. So I want to talk to you, and I want to talk to your home church, your pastor, your parents, your mentor. So these are the people that, before I go, and this is me, people that can make a difference before I go, but then I'm also thinking about the mission board chairman, the board recruiter, orientation, a clear job description, matching gifts to description. May I say this? Sometimes we're so anxious to find somebody to go that we put somebody around person in a square box, and it just doesn't work. So after you get to the mission field, this is before preparation to go, and here I've got after arrival. Then I have a field director, my supervisor, and me. Just to help you think about, these are the kinds of people that I was hoping would come to this workshop. What should you be doing if you're a prospective worker? How many months are you from going?
August.
Okay. So don't say anything you don't want to, but is anybody guiding you about things you ought to be doing to prepare?
My wife.
Okay, good. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm not trying to make you feel bad.
We both lived there before, which does help some of it, but we have a board that's fairly involved.
Okay.
Which helps.
Okay.
Home church, some not as much. They're not a lot of experience with foreign domain men.
Okay. But this is good. This is good because it shows us that I was on the mission field for 10 years, maybe, before Amish Men at Aid started doing any kind of orientation. Did you have orientation when you came? Okay. That was like 2 or 3 days. 3 days of, what was it like? A bunch of teaching?
It was so much in such a short time.
Okay.
We were overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, okay. And did it, but some of the stuff helped you later on? Or you thought about it after you were in the mission field?
No.
No, okay.
Well, James had a Latin culture to begin with.
Okay, that helped you. Okay.
Yeah, stuff that I couldn't quite
understand. Right, right. Does anybody want to comment about this and how you're going to apply these? Where you know where you belong. And tell us about you.
Same board as he is.
Okay, you're on the same board. So we're here, we're saying,
And I did serve too on the field.
Okay. So do you know what it's like to feel like the board doesn't really know what's going on?
Yes.
Okay. You see, we're really good at going and being energetic, but we're not as good at training and helping people get ready and putting them at the right place.
The spot that I went as a pastor.
Okay.
And they needed somebody.
So, okay.
But I was I feel like a lot of things that I had to learn there too.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some things that we can learn ahead, but I think there's a lot of things that can't be taught other than in the
In real living, right. But wouldn't it be good if we would wouldn't it be good if the field director or the supervisor would just kind of be checking up on me to make sure that I'm and if I say everything is going good, shouldn't he be asking, and how are you doing about this? And how are you doing about this? Just so that I don't fake and lie and say that things are going good when they really aren't going that well. So, you've all talked about where you're at, and if your role in life ever changes, if you ever go back to the field, think about this. These are things before I go, preparing to go, and after I get there, those are things to talk about. And you'll get your chance to ask some questions. Possible causes of turnover. We've talked about some of these. People never really considering long-term missions. There's not very many long-term missions. There's not many lifers. I think our mission boards, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think our mission boards are pretty good at taking care of people that stay for 2 to 6 years or 2 to 8 years. But we don't have much experience with taking care of people financially, retirement, and all those kinds of questions for people that stay longer. So possible cause of turnover before going is people don't really think about it, no adequate training, and not dealing with past hurts and woundedness, and having debts. I know of somebody who was on the mission field, don't try to figure out who, land became available, and he had someone bid on the land. He was able to buy the land, and so he's, I'm out of here, I've got to go home and work to pay for this. So that's kind of sad. Why do you think I have not dealing with past hurts and woundedness? Why would this be a possible cause of turnover? Somebody want to tell me why you think?
Those hurts come up again and cause personal relationships between you and other staff or those that you're trying to reach.
Wow, you've been there. Okay. If I don't deal with my past stuff, in living life, it's going to show up again, and then I won't. Okay, if I deal with it before I go,
wonderful. But if I don't, I'm going to be on the mission field and I have things that I need to do, and it just makes life a whole lot more complicated.
There's less places to hide.
That's right. Because you have more responsibility.
And fewer people to run to, like it's just, yeah. It'll come up.
Right. If you're on the mission field, we've had to... there's some people who couldn't stay on the field because we just weren't equipped to take care of them. And I told you, yeah. In El Salvador, there's one area where we have had quite a few people needing to leave. Some of them were school teachers, and some of them weren't school teachers. And I just ask myself, I wonder if this is a spiritual something. I don't know. But we know that in the one community there's witches. We know in the other community they're right beside each other. Witchcraft is a big thing, and in the other one, the Catholic Church is just a very strong, in-your-face presence. I don't know, but it just seems weird that we have good people who struggle with some of the same things. And I just say, I wonder what's going on.
I think there's more behind that than we realize.
You ran into that in Nicaragua? No, you were in Grenada. No?
We were in South Dakota.
Okay. So, Native Indian can...
connection between interpersonal relationships and just struggles.
Okay, but let's talk about this. I do not believe that witchcraft or that kind of stuff is strong enough that if we're living life right, that our enemy can mess with us. But if I've got junk, if I've got stuff I haven't dealt with, I think maybe that gives him a hand or an opening. The Bible talks about giving. Don't give place to the enemy. And so I'm mentioning witchcraft and those kinds of things, curses. I'm mentioning that as a possibility, but I don't want anybody to say, I've done everything I possibly could, and Arthur still said that it's going to happen. I didn't mean to say that. I want to tell you about a few questions from a 2008 survey that I did. It's nothing scientific, but I wanted to know, I've been on the mission field and I know there's never enough good people. So I wanted to know how the people are that are on the field or that used to be on the field. This is a survey, that 27 page survey that you can ask for if you want it. I wanted to know how people get there and what their experience was like. So one of the questions I asked was, what got you there? See, I think these things, the speakers, the books, the interaction with the missionary, the Bible school, these are the things that go with before you go. They prepare you. They make you think about, this is what I'd like to do. So I think all those things, we ought to be influencing the people around us for that. I wanted to know that. But look at this one. This is the one I was the most sad about, and this is the one I talked about in my preparing your people for ministry. This is 92 people, not all of them responded, but 39 of those said the mission board contacted me at mission board initiative, even though some of them were through my local church leaders. 33 sensed a personal call and contacted the church leaders, and three people said, my church talked to me and said, I think there's something about you. I think God has gifted you in a way that, have you ever thought about going? This makes me very sad. If you're a preacher, if you're a mentor, if you're somebody that people look up to, if there's people that you, then I want to just say, couldn't we do better than that? That's what I'm longing for. There's a good and right way to nudge people toward ministry without making them proud. We're so worried about people getting proud. But if we would walk beside them and mentor them, I think we could do that without it needing to be. Here's another one. How long was the incubation period from the first time that you thought about going until the time that you went? Isn't that interesting? Why do you smile? 20 people said, I thought about it less than a year before I was actually on the field. So what does that tell you?
Somewhat impulsive.
Maybe it's impulsive, but it's I never thought about it. I was just living my life, and then somebody asked me out of the blue, and it's urgent. We need somebody right now. And then there was 21 that more than a year, but less than 3 years, and then 34 more than 3 years. You know what I think? I think the people that were thinking about it the longest and getting ready the longest are more likely to stay longer. What do you think? You agree with me? Good. So what can we do to make this something that young people think about and to make so that it's exciting and noble? I'm doing what I want to do, and I wouldn't trade with anybody. But is that the way most people in ministry talk about ministry? You just look at me and smile. I think church leaders ought to be saying, I'm doing what really counts, and I'm glad to do this, and I'm excited about what I'm doing. This is the best life there is. I say, no wonder people don't stay very long. I'm so glad you're going back. And I hope you folks figure out what you're supposed to do. I went to orientation. 37 people, this was in 2008, and these were people who'd been on the mission field. Some of them had already come back, and some of them were still there. But these were 92 people. My mission board sent me. 32 said, I didn't have any pre-field orientation. And 5 said, my mission board didn't send me, but I still went. I think that affects turnover. Look at this. The areas where I felt most unprepared and equipped were conflict resolution. Conflict resolution was the biggest one. I just thought that I was going to go on the mission field. I'm committed to the Lord. Everybody else is committed to the Lord. So why would there be any problem? Right? There shouldn't be any problems. But there are problems. Sometimes the people who go in the mission field are strong personalities and who are determined, and so conflict resolution was a big issue. 28 people said, I just really felt unprepared for understanding cross-cultural issues. I wasn't expecting this, and it just blew me out of the water. And 24 people said, I never thought language learning would be so hard. It was just, I wasn't prepared for that. I think language learning ought to be high priority. Because language learning has to do being useful and feeling useful. You remember how it was when James would just talk and you didn't get it?
Well, we got there and the Avidad boys would come. And James, my husband, grew up in Costa Rica, and that was his first language at one time. And they would just sit and laugh.
Talk.
And laugh. And I would think,
yeah,
it's just so.
Yeah.
And I'd go home and cry. See, yeah. What was the evening all about?
Yeah.
And he'd say, next time I'll translate. And they didn't wait for them to. They just kept with the story, and we both went home and said, "What was the union about?" So I said, "Just forget about it. Just enjoy yourself." But I was not prepared for the language.
Right. I really
wasn't, and it wasn't. I didn't have an organized study.
Right. We messed up, but I'm terribly sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But it taught me. Okay, I love people, and I love relating to them. And my life is all about relationships in my mind and in my heart.
Right.
But I couldn't do that.
Right.
Yeah. Broke me up.
But it was after that that we sent people to Guatemala to get away, because you don't learn on the job. You just don't learn. Okay. And 20 people said, I was sent to be a missionary or to be a pastor, but I didn't really have what it took to be a good evangelist. And 17 said, I was so stressed out, I was so busy in ministry, that I really struggled to maintain my personal spiritual renewal. That's just the way it is. Here's another one. The reasons that you struggle the most with maintaining your personal spiritual vitality were, I think we'll just skip this for time. We'll just skip that one. This is possible causes of turnover after going. Let's just look at all of these. Gifts and job description not matching. Not being shown how to do the job. I think we've messed up. I think we ought to be more intentional about showing people how to do things. I think people leave the mission field because there's not the idea of continuing training. If you are on the mission field and if you're not growing and learning and receiving from other people, either by books or some other way, you're going to wither and get tired of this and give up. Sometimes there's feelings of frustration and futility. And sometimes you're working under a difficult leader. I don't have time to talk about that, and we've talked about personality conflicts. But sometimes a difficult leader is there because he's been there a long time and he's got the position of leadership that he doesn't deserve, he shouldn't have, but he's got it. So these are all things that I think about. So what can be done to fix the problem? We have 5 minutes. Wow. Okay. I want to propose, I just have these couple slides, and you can't copy everything down, but just think about them. Be part of creating a ministry culture of excellence, where we do things the best that we can, where we're constantly learning and growing, where we're trying new things. It was so freeing for me when I understood that I don't have to know how to do something, that I can learn by trying, and I learned by trying. So the first time I come back from street ministry, it didn't go very well. That's okay. What else did I expect? I have to have a few flops before I learn how to do things. And if there's people under you, I know there's not many field directors like I was hoping to see in the group, but if there's people under you, do what you can to stretch them and then to evaluate how's it going and to keep track. Preventive maintenance and problem solving. By that I mean talk about stuff before the problem gets big. And where we have clearly defined goals and where we measure how we're getting along so we don't get sidetracked. And the last point, where we're making it possible for people to make long-term contributions, long-term commitments, take care of them financially. Because I'm 57, my wife and I, this will be our 30th year, and
We're hoping we can stay there. When our daughter Carrie died, I don't know why this thing is beeping here. When our daughter Carrie died, we bought a plot, and we hope to be buried in El Salvador. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with us when we're old and feeble and we can't drive anymore. But may the Lord take care of us. Ministry leader, this person that I had over there, you're already on the field. Talk about a field and cultural orientation. Show how we do things and what's expected. Be available for problem solving. Be willing to listen and to learn from those who work with you and for you. I'm talking about somebody who invites people to talk, regular checkups times, that kind of thing. And then this is something that Andy Stanley talks about. I think it would be really good for field directors to have these questions. Maybe not use all of them, but what are you most excited about? What do you wish you could spend more time on? Those would be some questions to help people, help you discover whether somebody's at the right place or whether we put them in the wrong place. What do you find most challenging? Is something bugging you? How can I help? Those are all questions that somebody who's on the field might use to get people to talk about what's happening. Sorry, I'm going to keep going. I'll come back if you want that. A ministry staff person, that's you, the person at the bottom of the totem pole. Ask questions, but don't be demanding. Understand the group goal, be a helper, work on menial tasks. Don't say, well, I'm not willing to mop. And okay, I'm going to just go back. I saw some of you were wanting to write these down. Okay, we have 1 minute. What do you want to talk about? Remember, our reason for this presentation was we're trying to figure out things that we can do at all levels so that people can make a longer contribution, a more productive contribution. So I've given you my outline. What would you have said if this was your assignment? What are you going to take home with you? Yes?
I'd like to know if there is a practical means of developing a balance, a life balance, meaning physical labor and spiritual labor.
Okay.
While you're on the field, or is that not important to most people? Or is it important? All spiritual work, is that a reasonable expectation? Or should we try to include a bit of physical labor, some sort of occupation, some sort of interaction, possibly in a business form?
I don't know if I can answer that question, but I can at least say that if I am a preacher that doesn't get any physical exercise, that's not proper balance. So I'll at least grant that. And we need to have balance in all of life. If I spend so much time with other people, not that I don't spend any time with my wife and children, that's not right. So yes, there needs to be balance. And I guess I'm making a plea for people, for the pastor before the people leave, and the field worker after they're there, to monitor and to mirror and to encourage and to ask questions to help people be balanced and to grow in the areas where they're not okay. Comments? Yes.
Permit me just to talk a little bit. I'm like, sorry that I know you, but you've been there, but this is what Arthur and Lil did for us. I think in my heart and in my mind, I feel like that's why we have long-term missionaries in El Salvador, mm-hmm. because we were allowed to come to you and Lil, and you would sit and listen to what we had to say, and then you look for we dialogue,
right?
And we get the other missionaries in, and we say, okay, now what about this? And we would be there for each other,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and you can maintain so you can be there a whole lot longer if you know somebody cares for your heart.
Okay.
And when your heart is cared for, it makes a world of difference. You're heard,
mm-hmm.
and you're not only heard, but something is put into action.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We just really appreciated that. That was Arthur and Lowell's heart, and that's how we are. This is what they are.
Someone else wants to share something? 0 minutes. Okay. Thank you very much.
blessings to you. May you be people who take care of the people around you so that they can stay longer if that's God's will for them. Thank you.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.